This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Unsportsmanlike.
I don't want to disparage cat dads out there, single cat dads.
But
I have to say, I imagine if my girlfriends and I are at brunch and we're talking about a guy that one of my friends is dating and she's like, yeah, he's a cat dad, it has a certain connotation to it. A cat guy just kind of signifies...
catty.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance... and we smell really good today. Oh, yeah, I said it. Thank you, CC. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. I come in today, and I got a gift from CC of Joe Malone cologne, which rhymes.
There you go.
And I smell so clean.
Oh, you put it on?
Oh, yeah. Right away.
Oh, you had to hook him up with the Cypress and Vine.
Yeah.
Oh, no question about it.
It smells unbelievable. Yeah. Here, pass this over to Smalls.
Okay, right, mine's over there.
Take the top part of the cologne off of it and smell it.
Well, that's usually how you smell it.
Thank you.
Thanks for the step-by-step. Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
What a beautiful bottle, too.
The play-by-play.
This looks
there
very
you go.
Chic.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Just a little something.
Okay, if a guy had that smell but was also a cat dad... does it cancel out being a cat dad?
This cologne is so good. You could have whatever pet you want. And I think you're going to get some.
Wow, when you got a cologne that could cancel out being a cat dad?
You could be a tarantula dad.
Stuff. That is pretty powerful
that
stuff.
Give that back to me. You kidding me?
There we go.
Yeah, you could be a tarantula dad with that. That smells great.
Mrs. Canty.
By the way, I screwed up on something yesterday because while we're on the cat dad thing, I'm pretty sure our friend Andrea Carter, who was amazing on the WNBA draft last night,
yeah.
I think she owns snakes.
Really? What?
I think she has snakes as pets. A miss.
How did you figure this out?
I saw it on the internet. I look around on the internet. I try to prep for different things. And I came across Andrea Carter owning snakes and forgot to ask about it yesterday. So that's on me.
Wow.
Was it on her social media?
Yeah, I believe so. It's not. I didn't have like a video camera outside of her house.
I mean, are we talking about little snakes, big snakes? What are we talking about?
You said snakes plural.
Plural, right?
I'm sure that Sam or somebody back there on the TV side could probably find it, a tweet from her with the snakes. Yeah, I'm telling you. She owns, and she was amazing last night on the draft, which obviously Caitlin Clark goes number one. And shout out to all those women last night because they came to represent.
Oh, they were clean.
They were clean now.
They were clean now.
Unbelievable.
The fashions last night. I was like, is this the Met Gala?
Yeah.
They were dressed from head to toe. I loved all the outfits last night. I loved the orange carpet. Mm-hmm. It was a spectacle last night. It was so fun to watch.
Smalls, feet to the fire. Who had the best fit last night?
Angel Reese.
Angel Reese, Bayou Barbie. She did it.
The Bayou Barbie.
Which one? She came. I think she entered in one outfit and then went on stage in another.
That was Rekia Jackson.
I think I saw a picture. I'll have to find
Angel
this.
Angel Reese had the silver getup
with the
hoodie on it.
Yeah. That was high fashion.
With the, yeah.
You can tell she's been in Vogue.
With the low back, yeah.
Oh, she looked amazing.
And then there was the Prada bag. Prada was doing all the Caitlin Clark stuff, I think.
Caitlin Clark was Prada'd out. She looked
Prada
great.
Prada had the toe with the frames, too. Kamala Cardoza had the red pantsuit on. It was amazing. Like, it was a really special moment last night, and they did a great job. At the Brooklyn Academy of Music, it was a phenomenal venue, and you saw the fans that were lined up there standing for hours waiting to see the WNBA players arrive, and I'm glad that we've gotten to this place now with women's sports, but with the W in particular, where it has the grand feel that goes along with the promise and the potential of these players graduating from the collegiate ranks to the pro ranks. Like, it feels like this is the stage, this is the place that the sport belongs on, and to see them get that acknowledgement, I'm so excited about what this class of players coming into the W is going to do for the entire league.
They're calling it the generational class, right? Because this has been so transformative. But last night felt like the NBA draft to me, where we're talking about the outfits and we're waiting to see which stars are picked where, and just the amount of attention that is being showered, rightly so, upon these women as they take this next step into the WNBA. And in watching this last night and just capturing the vibe of what was happening. I really think that this is going to continue and translate to the WNBA. I really know that there has been all this conversation about how the WNBA captures this moment and then they continue on. But I think these women have done it already. I think we are so invested in them and not only their game, but in who they are. The fact that we're talking about the outfits that they're wearing and where they're going. We're talking about the analysts and what pets they have. We are so locked into this group of women that I really think it's going to carry over into their professional careers.
I think you're 1,000% right. There were a few moments for me last night in watching this, and I'm like, wow, this is different. This, like, first of all, the coolness factor for all of the women that were being drafted. The picture I was thinking about with Angel Reese was another one that was going around social media from a Sports Illustrated party, and I thought it was from last night. But the point is, everybody was speaking like Angel Reese, coolness factor through the roof. Now she's in Chicago. That's number one. Number two, I'm sitting there, I'm watching the WNBA.
Her and Camila Cardoso.
Both of them.
Chicago.
Both of them.
I mean, like Camila Cardoso got it right. Nobody's going to get a rebound on it.
And nobody
is going to get a rebound on it.
I love any team that's just like, you know what? Everybody's doing it one way. What if we try it this way? And everybody's trying to find the small ball three-point shooters. And they're just like, you know what? Let's beat the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
Let's get the two bigs here that are going to get every single rebound and win games. Yeah. And Cardoso and Reese do that, right? I'm sitting there last night, I'm watching the WNBA draft with my wife and daughter. That's never happened before.
Yeah. That's
right?
Awesome.
And then, this is amazing. The amount of conversations I've had with my dad about sports in my life, it's countless. All of a sudden, we're on the phone last night, and we're arguing about whether or not Caitlin Clark can be a three-point shooter in the WNBA the way that she was in college, and my dad pointing out the way that Connecticut defended her, and I hang up the phone. I'm like, what just happened here? We've never had this conversation about women's basketball in the 43 years that I've been alive, and my dad's in his 70s, and we're sitting there breaking down women's basketball, debating Caitlin Clark's role in the WNBA. And then I'm like, okay, this is real. This is it, it's gotten to a different level now than it ever has. So generational class, that's what you called it?
That's what they've been calling
it. I think you're right about that. As we saw last night, so Clark goes one. Cameron Brink from Stanford goes two to L.A. Camila Cardoso, as CeCe mentioned, along with Angel Reese going there to Chicago. Rekia Jackson going four to L.A. I mean, this draft last night had names, it had faces, it had get up. It was amazing.
Yeah, and probably the most sneaky big news coming out of last night from the WNBA draft is that Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said that the league plans on expanding or 14 team by 2026 and possibly 16 teams by 2028. So like the fact that you're talking about the league expanding, adding teams just speaks to the viability and them being able to monetize the enthusiasm that has come around the sport because of what's happened with this current class of players.
Yeah, it's smart for them to continue to ride this wave and to give the consumer what they want. Clearly, the sports fan is into women's basketball at the collegiate level. The numbers are there, and the WNBA is hoping that that wave continues into the professional ranks, and I really think it will. And I love that they're expanding the league. I think it's great, and it's a good business decision.
By the way, very quickly here. So Sam, our TV producer, has the tweet from Andrea that I was talking about here. So she is a snake owner. Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking at that.
Oh, hell no.
Go ahead. Describe it, ladies and gentlemen, here.
I hate snakes. That... Oh, so this is a massive snake that is about the size of her body. For those listening, the video was of the snake lounging on top of her as she has a blanket on her reading a book, it looked like.
Yeah, I don't understand, though. Like, the snake is just in the wild. Usually, you hear about people having pet snakes and they're in a tank of some sort. The tank is the snake is just roaming around on the couch. The snake is lounging on the couch where she is. There ain't no way in the world, bruh. No way in the world.
I'm going to take the hit on that. On me. I knew it yesterday when we were talking about animals and we had her on, and I never asked about it.
I have so many questions now.
For her?
For her.
Okay, yeah.
For her.
Well, next time we have Andrea Carter.
So many questions now.
You know, this time yesterday, I threw out something to you,
CeCe. More of a red flag. Hold on. More of a red flag for a guy. Being a snake dad or a cat dad?
Snake dad for sure.
Really?
Snake dad
is more of a red flag.
Yes.
Oh, forget what I was going to say. Now we got to dive into this. Really? I think the cat dad is worse.
Than a snake dad?
You, yeah, because a snake you can put in the... What is it called? The tank.
You can put them in the tank, yeah.
Yeah, but only one of those things could strangle me.
Okay, that's true.
That's a great point.
You went to a different place than I was thinking.
That was really, really dark. But fair.
Let's say I'm over at this guy's house. I would be afraid if I ever slept there that the snake would get out of the tank and it would kill me.
Yeah, I guess that's the point, right?
Not worried about the cat.
If the guy is a cat dad and the cat doesn't like you, what's the worst the cat is going to do? Hiss at you?
Claw you, maybe?
Yeah, claw your bag, maybe? Yeah. But, I mean, if the snake doesn't like you...
The snake's like,
you can have serious problems.
Well, what kind of bag do you have? We got to discuss that.
I hope it's not a python bag.
Right?
Oh, God. So wait, Pat Costello, would you, if you had a choice, because this all stemmed from you saying you may want to be a cat dad, would you rather get a cat or a snake in your home?
A cat, man. Who owns people? I can't get behind someone owning a snake.
I can't either.
That's insane.
I couldn't even look at the snake on the video. It's just, it makes you recoil.
Gives you the ick.
Oh, see, I can't even look at it.
Not.
Oh, we have another one.
Not licking her cheek. What in the world? No, there's no
Andrea way. She's tough because that scares me.
Andrea Carter has become the breakout star of women's basketball on the television side, right? Yeah. Like she, Chinee and Elle were huge even before this. I think Andrea, who was on the men's draft last year, has become the big breakout star. She's so good.
She's amazing.
So good. Yeah.
So you learn more about people when they become these breakout star. Are you guys changing your thought process of her now that you know she's a snake owner?
Oh, no. She's an amazing person, but I just can't get down with the snake.
You may not go over to her house if she's having a party.
No, man. I won't be there. I'm all good.
Won't go?
I hate snakes. I am so afraid of snakes. It's my number one fear in life. One time I was playing hide and go seek, and I was behind a fence, and a snake came and wrapped itself around my ankle. It was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
How did you get the snake off of your ankle?
I just kicked my leg and it flew off and I ran inside. I would not go in our backyard for years after that.
Yeah, that's the thing with the snake. By the time you realize that it doesn't mean you well, it's probably too late. Like if the snake is wrapping itself around you.
I don't know, but I went to the same garden.
How do you know the difference between the snake being cuddly versus the snake trying to strangle you?
Correct.
There is no middle ground. Like, there is no subtlety.
I'm just trying to get him in there.
I'm
going to
wrap around you, and it is like all of a sudden you can't breathe. Correct. Hell no. Uh-huh.
But is there any kind? That has to be a safe pet snake, no?
There's no safe word for a snake. But
Andrea had
about?
It around her
gotta,
face.
It's got to
be
some
safe word.
Blueberry. Like,
Omaha. But there has to be some sort of
safe word.
No, but it has to be safe. Andrea has it around her face. There has to be a safe version of
you
a snake.
You are at the mercy of the snake.
Yeah,
well, then how does she put it on her face?
Well, I mean,
look at this.
I can't. On
radio, Andrea has it around her neck with the head of the snake on her cheek.
Yeah, I guess they had to work their way to that point in the relationship, and I'm sure that she got the snake. It was a lot smaller than it currently is. But I don't have the same relationship that she would have with the snake. There you go. If I'm over there at her place and the snake is out, I can't think that the snake is going to be as friendly to me as it is to her.
Correct.
Period.
So I wonder what she does if she's having like a dinner party at her home, having people over, friends over. Is it in the cage, locked up in the room? Like, is there 7 levels of defense?
If it's not, you need to go ahead and preface the invitation that you give me to come to your spot with, I got a pet snake. Like, that has to be one of the headline items before you invite me at an event at your house. Like, I have to know going into this thing, hey, I got a pet snake. You know, his name is such and such. He's not in the tank. He's just around the apartment. Okay, cool. That might be a party that I missed.
Oh, if Jerry the Snake is just chilling in the house, there's the no way I'm coming over. I'm not coming over.
You got to go with Jake in that spot.
Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Classic. I mean, what a great wrestler.
Very nice.
What
great.
A great wrestler. That. Exactly. He would bring the snake into the ring.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake.
That's different because it's entertainment and it goes with his shtick. But, I mean, to
invite... Was it name Damien? Was that the name of it? I think that was the name.
Yeah, but
I
here's
it was
the thing.
Damien.
To invite somebody over to a party at your house and you just got a Jake the Snake lounging on the couch. Man, what the hell?
I'm leaving.
I'm out. First of all, if you tell me ahead of time, I ain't coming.
I'm not coming either.
There's no way.
So let me just wrap this up here. Joe Malone Cologne. Joe Malone Cologne. Amazing WNBA draft with great fits all over the place. Caitlin Clark going number one. Chicago going beast mode and just dominating on the rebounding inside with unbelievable, wonderful women in Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoza. Andrea Carter's snake, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Damien. Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance.
There you go.
Progressive can help you out if you have the snake. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, a little Tupac.
Oh, no doubt. Let's go. Let's go.
Playing tonight, Lakers, Pelicans, Warriors, Kings, Western Conference. One day ago, at around this time, I asked CeCe and Smalls the question, if you're the Lakers, is it actually a good thing if you lose to the Pelicans and then win that game against the 9-10 winner because then you get the Nuggets, right? And we had the conversation about that. That was a hypothetical, if they lose, is it the worst thing in the world? Mike Greenberg, Greeny, of course, on Get Up. Well, he went to a different place than we went yesterday. Let's take a listen.
I'm going to say something in duck, because I know that it is controversial, and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create. And you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7 seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round one instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
All right, we heard the highlights, ESPN LA 710 in LA.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
And then that. So there's a difference between residual effect of losing not being that bad and actively trying to lose. Smalls, is Greeny on to something?
I understand where he's coming from because Denver really is that scary. But if you think that you're in a position to compete for an NBA title, you're likely going to have to face them at some point. Mm. And that's a risk to sit your players and just assume you're going to win the second game. I don't know. I don't think that I could ever go there because I want my team and the players on my team to think that they can beat anybody. And that includes the Denver Nuggets. I want them to go into that matchup thinking we're going to find a way to win.
Yeah, that's an absolutely ridiculous take by Greeny. And we love Mike Greenberg on this show, but you have two opportunities to win one game to extend your season. You can't mess around with that. Mm-mm. You can't take those opportunities for granted, especially when the team waiting for you in the second play-in game could be the Golden State Warriors, and you faced off against them over the last week of the regular season, and they made 26 three-pointers. They shot 60% from three and smoked you. So, yeah, I don't think you can go down that road. And let's just be honest about this, Ev. It's a one-game sample size, single elimination. Remember, Major League Baseball, and they used to have a wild card format where it was game 163, where it was a single elimination. They moved away from that because they acknowledged how fluky it was. They went to a best of three when it came to the wild card games to get into the postseason. Why? Because it's so fluky when you're talking about one game, one night to determine whether or not your season leads to the playoffs or whether or not you're going to Cancun. I just don't think you can mess around with that. I think you've got to go ahead and take care of your business, do everything you can to beat the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. And hey, you get the Denver Nuggets in the first round. It's not ideal, but if you consider the fact that you got LeBron and AD healthy, you got them rested because you're going to have 4 days off, and in between games in the first round, you've got multiple days off. Like, if you're ever going to pick that type of scenario, that would be what you want in order to give yourself a chance to beat the Denver Nuggets. Because remember, you're not going to be guaranteed multiple days off between games in any other round of the playoffs except for the first round. So it just makes sense if it's got to be this way, if you've got to fight your way out of the play-in and your prize is the Denver Nuggets, I guess it just makes sense to think that, you know, LeBron, AD, healthy and fresh is going to give you the best chance of beating Denver. Now, that being said, I don't think we have a snowball's chance in hell of beating Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and company. But I guess if you want to say the Lakers have a better chance playing them now as opposed to, you know, in the second round or the conference finals, then yeah, I could walk down that road. I could get down with that logic.
So I hate to take it here, but we always do the LeBron-Michael comparison. Do you think Michael Jordan would ever be afraid of any opponent, regardless of how well they're playing at the time?
No.
And if LeBron James and the Lakers did that in order to avoid Denver, we would crush them. We would absolutely crush LeBron. That would be something that would be brought up all the time. Oh, LeBron and the Lakers were afraid to go up against the Denver Nuggets. And I don't think if I'm LeBron, I would ever want to put myself in that position.
And if they actually rested those two guys tonight, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, would have to hand out the single biggest fine in the history of the league.
Ooh.
How can you not? If they said, you know what, we are going to rest our guys for the next matchup. Now, I know AD's banged up. I get it. But AD played, what, 76 games this year? He has proven to actually play through injury this year. And yes, our sports information department, stats and information put out there, the Nuggets have won 8 straight against the Lakers, including the playoffs. 4 of those came by double digits. All but one by at least 5 points. Denver went 16-4 last season in the playoffs, 10-1 at home. So all of the numbers favor Denver, but if you were to rest LeBron James and Anthony Davis and basically tank the game tonight, Adam Silver would have to give out the single biggest fine in the history of the league for basketball competitive reasons.
Because it's cheapening the product?
You cannot tank a playoff game. And I understand there's a difference between a play-in and a playoff. Mm-hmm. I get that. But this would be such an unbelievable insult to everything that the league is trying to create here in terms of competitive balance and jockeying for position. There's no way the Lakers will do this. I think the general theme is the residual effect of losing tonight, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, is not the worst thing in the world. Because then you still have a shot to win and get in and play the Thunder. That's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not the worst thing in the world, but assuming that Golden State Warriors can summon that championship DNA against the Sacramento Kings, you feel good about going up against Steph Curry?
No, never. But I also, right, so that's why you have to go all in tonight, obviously, against the Pelicans, which I believe that they will. I have no in. I have
the
no
Pels
reason
have
to
won
think.
3 of the last 4 against the Lakers, right?
The Pelicans, I don't have that in front of me right now.
I think that's their season record against the
Lakers. Well, they just
won
the, yeah. I mean, the Lakers won the last one.
Yeah, that's
on Sunday.
Yeah.
But we will have the play-in action tonight, Kings and the Warriors this evening. It's not going to happen. I understand what Granny's saying, but it is not going to happen in any way, shape, or form. I believe the Lakers are going to go all in tonight, and you're going to look at this team tonight, whether they win or lose, and think by the end of the night, yes, they wanted to win this game. All right, coming up. There are a lot of teams out there that are trying to win this year in the NFL that shouldn't be. We will explain what that means next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hot Ticket, brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. NFL Draft, a hot ticket next week. We are going to be in Detroit. Have you gotten your tickets? Did I just bring up a bad subject?
I have not gotten the tickets for the draft. Speaking of hot tickets. I have not. I haven't even got my credential for the draft. Now, I'm working the draft. You would think that I would have that a week ahead of time.
All right, wait a minute.
I don't have that.
We just went down a bad path because Nuno, I'm going to pretend CeCe's not sitting here. Smalls, I believe CeCe was supposed to fill out forms that somehow he can't get into the email that the forms to fill out.
No. He's good because he's done it before. So we had to do that based upon the fact that we're not.
Oh, you're grandfathered in then. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, they're still. They're
so it's
working.
The other way.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah,
it's just.
I just had a problem filling out the forms to book my flight and to book my hotel.
Forms are hard in general.
No, but I mean, I just feel like there's another layer here, just because it's just. That's all
what, logging into our
that
system.
You gotta work out.
Logging into the system and doing all that stuff.
Exactly. That is difficult. And then on top of that, like, I'm a big man, so first class travel is not a luxury; it's a necessity. But the company doesn't do that, so there's that process of trying to get that ticket. Yeah,
I just pictured you getting the ticket with 32B.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a middle seat.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be comfortable. I just feel bad for the people in 32A and 32C. I'm going to be straight. I'm going to be straight, or everybody's going to be uncomfortable one way or the other.
Wait a minute. That's how that's going to go. I have to ask a question, just quick follow up this to Nuno. So CeCe in no way, shape, or form is a prima donna or anything like that.
Of course not.
No, I'm being serious. I don't actually think you are. But how much of CeCe's work do you have to do because he can't get into this one computerized system here?
Oh, nothing. Thankfully, because he is doing the draft, that is our remotes department that has.
So you outsourced it to someone else? No, Nuno doesn't have to do it.
So we ain't got to worry about that. I worry about you guys and the fact that we're doing our show live from the – from Detroit, from ESPN, in front of ESPN Bet. So that's if I have the credential to get onto the set to do the show. No, that's at a casino.
Casino.
So like you'll be able to walk in.
Trust me, you can get there.
So
I'm guaranteed that I will be able to do our show
if you
the
show
first
up.
2 days of the draft. But I don't know that I'll be able to get on set to actually work the draft, which I'm slated to do.
Well, you better, because they put out the big promotion yesterday.
They did. I don't have a credential.
But here's the thing.
And I don't have the tickets for the draft.
Knowing the fact that, like, you know.
Doing well here.
Our friend Chris Canty is part of the, Chris Carlin is part of the coverage, as is Mike Tannenbaum and Ian Fitzsimmons and Jordan Reed. I think those guys would have enough to say to cover your airtime if you're not there.
Oh,
especially
so what you're saying is they don't need me. So what you're saying is they don't need me. What you're alluding to is that the draft broadcast would be better without me.
I'm just saying if you're not. I'm just saying if you're there, there's no dead air.
They put out the
video. You're a bad guy, Nuno.
I tweeted it out at Evco Radio. The ESPN public relations team, which is wonderful, put out the big press release yesterday for all the draft coverage.
Yeah.
You're on it. Only problem is you're not sure if you get in.
I don't know if I can get in.
Good. It works.
Not to mention my people, my godson, his dad. I don't know if they're going to be able to get in either. I don't have the credential for me. I don't have the tickets for them. It's going swimmingly, Smalls.
Well,
there it is. It's a big pop.
There it is.
On ESPN2.
To my surprise.
Sam, our TV producer, may want to cross out the guy on the far left, Canty, because he may not be credentialed to get in to the NFL draft in Detroit next week.
Just use the telestrator and something.
Great graphic.
Oh, it's a great graphic. Great crew. Minus that guy on the far left. Anyway.
Well, that guy may not be there. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. So ESPN analytics writer Seth Walder put out a tweet yesterday. If the Saints or Seahawks offer their 2024 first-round pick to the Patriots, Broncos, or Raiders for their 2025 first-round pick straight up, could they get someone to accept it? Given the way the league discounts future picks, there's a chance, right? And that would be a great move for New Orleans or Seattle because of the asymmetric upside of those future picks. The difference between an early first and mid first is larger than the difference between a mid and late first. That's when it's too smart for me to understand at this point. Basically, the point is, what are the Saints and Seahawks doing is basically what he's asking, right?
Well, they need a quarterback, right? Well, Geno Smith and Derek Carr are the incumbents, respectively. And when you're in that – middle ground, that's essentially purgatory as far as trying to get a quarterback that's viewed as an elite prospect in the NFL draft. Think about the draft capital that it's going to cost the Minnesota Vikings to move inside of the top 10, to move inside of the top 5. They've got 2 first-round picks, and we're talking about them having to rope in a 2025 first-round pick to move inside of the top 5, whether it be with the Patriots, the Cardinals, or the Chargers. So I guess what Seth Walder is saying is that the value is exponential in terms of being able to give up a pick in the middle of the first round this year in hopes that one of those teams that you're doing the dance with that's picking at the top of the draft would have a suspect season because they're breaking in a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that way you have an opportunity to have a high draft pick in 2025 to get your future signal caller. It actually makes a whole lot of sense.
You're shorting them.
But you're shorting them, but you're also shorting your season in 2024.
Yeah.
And I don't know that those two franchises have an appetite for that, given where they're at.
All right, let's play that out for a second. So let's say, because basically what he's saying is the Saints aren't going anywhere this year. Yeah. Let's just use them as an example. So they're not going anywhere. So if you add a 2024 first round pick, that's not a franchise. I'm sorry, you use your pick this year that is not a franchise quarterback. What are you actually gaining at 14? And he's saying give 14 to New England and for the 2025 first round pick. But if you're going to even think about doing that, if you're going to even suggest that, don't we then have to ask the follow-up, Smalls, are the Saints a sneaky tank team?
Yeah, you have to ask that question in this scenario.
Are they going to? Could we see them doing that?
I could see Seattle doing it maybe more than New Orleans because I really like a lot of pieces on their defense. And I understand Seth's thought process here, because if you're already not in a position to win, why not just go ahead and mortgage what you have in order to get a quarterback that's going to put you in a better position moving forward? But I also then think about the conversations that we've had about teams like New England. If you're not in a position to bring that quarterback in and really have the infrastructure around them in order for them to succeed, is that really the play or the road that you want to go down?
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Dennis Allen is going into his third year as a head coach there. If he doesn't get to the playoffs, he's probably going to be fired. So I don't know that they're in a position to be tanking because they're trying to figure out how viable their head coach is. And with the Seattle Seahawks, you're talking about a team that had a winning record in 2023, and they were a year removed from being in the playoffs in 2022. So I don't know that they're going to go down that road. Although I will argue that if you don't have a franchise quarterback, if you don't have somebody that can be a player that is, you know, top 12, 14 at the position, then you've got to be in the market of finding that guy. And the only place that you find true franchise quarterbacks is in the draft.
Right.
So if you don't have a quarterback that you think is in the top 12 to top 14 in the NFL, then you probably need to strongly consider the prospects of trading away draft capital now for future draft capital to position yourself to get that guy.
So two things on those two teams. Number one, is there any possibility that New Orleans front office and ownership realized – there's no way we're going to be good this year. Let's not bring in a new coach because then we're going to voluntarily have that new coach have a bad year. Let Dennis Allen get one more year. We're going to have to pay him anyway and tank it, and then we're going to fire him after the year to walk in a new coach to a better situation. Just one thing to throw out there.
Yeah.
The other thing is I'll bet you a dollar right now that Geno Smith will not finish the year as the Seattle quarterback, that he will be the first quarterback traded when there's an injury this year to a good quarterback. They have Sam Howell behind him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's capable of playing.
Yep.
Geno, I believe, is on an expiring deal that they just reworked a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's more than capable of being a starting quarterback in this league. I bet you Geno Smith is the first quarterback that if you have the Deshaun Watson situation or Joe Burrow from last year, where you have a good team or a team supposed to be good,
yeah,
get a quarterback hurt, Geno Smith's the first guy gets traded.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So under that premise, you might as well then, you know,
draft somebody.
Push it down the line. Trade it this year for next year.
Yeah, but you want to give Sam Howell an opportunity to have success, right? And a big part of that is being able to keep him upright. A lot of people are projecting that the Seattle Seahawks are going to draft an interior offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess you want to do everything you can to be competitive this season. And again, Pete Carroll and John Schneider don't have a track record of having a lot of down years. This is a proud franchise. I just don't see them taking a step back to take 2 steps forward. And they've already made their move in terms of being able to add a young guy that they think can be their future franchise quarterback. Remember how they found Russell Wilson, too. It was a third-round pick. Mm-hmm. So why would they think they can't find lightning in a bottle twice by using a third-round pick and trading that for Sam Howell? So I just think that it makes sense to do that, to use that strategy, but I just know that the Seattle Seahawks won't go down that road. And I guess you can say the New Orleans Saints ain't going to do it either, because they just restructured Derek Carr's contract to clear up $28 million in salary cap space. You're not doing that if you're considering tanking the upcoming season. So, again, I think it's a bold strategy and one that merits consideration, especially when you look at the analytics behind the draft picks. But I don't think that either one of those franchises are going to do it, even though we could probably put the sneaky tank label on both of them.
And conceptually, it's a very interesting thought. The idea of trading away your first-round pick this year to a team that you assume and you're betting on is going to be bad in this upcoming season for next year's draft, right? I mean, but the team that's going to do that has to be really confident they're not going to stink next year.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
This upcoming season.
Here's what's dangerous about that. You get a Houston Texans situation where they hit on the head coach and the quarterback.
Yeah.
Nobody anticipated that Houston was going to do that, right?
Right, right.
Nobody thought that Houston was going to go from worst to first in that division.
And Arizona has the 27th pick as a result.
But that's exactly what, Arizona has the 27th
pick. No, but I'm saying they thought probably it was a top 10 pick that they were going to get.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you on that. I was just thinking about fading the Arizona Cardinals. That makes sense.
Oh, I would do that.
Yeah, it was absolutely. Like, there are a few teams that I would consider fading them regardless of what the circumstances are. But I guess we thought that about the Texans.
Big time.
And then they turn around and they're the best team in the AFC South. And they will be that for the foreseeable future because of the quarterback and the head coach. So I guess that is the downside to this proposition. But more often than not, when you have a rookie quarterback, when you have a rookie head coach, those organizations, those franchises are going to struggle in their first season. Mm-hmm. And so if you're the Saints, if you're the Seahawks, going down this road does make some sense. I just don't think that either one of those teams are going to do that.
Coming up, we got power rankings. It is a Tuesday. We'll get to what that is with CeCe. People may be wearing a gold jacket. Next, it's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Here we go. Power Rankings Tuesday. Boy, wait till you guys hear what this is, because this is, this is going out on a limb because of one word here. Top 5 guaranteed Hall of Famers.
That's right.
In the 2024 draft.
That's right.
You don't want to do top 5 presumed Hall of Famers?
No. Gettleman said once upon a time, that's the former Giants general manager that drafted Saquon Barkley. When you're taking a guy this high in the first round, top 10 pick, then that guy's got to be a gold jacket guy. So we're going to go with the top 5 draft prospects that are surefire, guaranteed Hall of Famers. Guys that will have a bust in Canton, Ohio, at the end of their NFL career. So I know that's lofty praise.
Yes.
But that should absolutely be the goal when you're taking a guy with a lot of draft capital in the first round.
Okay. So, I have one. I'm not going to say who. I have one guy in my head that I think is definitively going to be on this list. Smalls, how many people do you have in your brain right now that you're like, all right, I think they're going to be on this list?
Two.
All right, let's see what you got here.
All right, to kick this thing off, we're going to start with number five, Javonte, if you will.
Number five.
Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. Now, this is a guy that's shown us that he can do it at multiple big-time programs. He started out at Oklahoma. He supplanted Spencer Rattler, who was all of a sudden turned into a draft darling in his own right. But Caleb Williams has shown the ability to throw the football from any arm angle. He showed that outstanding improvisational skills, second reaction plays, whether he's manipulating the pocket to buy time or he's getting outside of the pocket to extend the down. This is a guy that can do it. In terms of his field vision, the best in the class. It is elite level. And this is a guy that really doesn't have a whole lot of question marks outside of whether or not he can have the discipline to play within the structure at the next level. Because a lot of the things he got away with at the collegiate ranks, he won't be able to pull off. The athletes are too smart. They're bigger, stronger, faster. The other concern that I have for Caleb Williams is ball security in the pocket. But think about that, Evan. I'm saying the biggest concerns for the young man are his ability to stay disciplined in terms of playing within structure, playing on time, and hanging on to the football in the pocket. That's it. Those are the only questions about his game. And that's why I think this is a player that will be wearing a gold jacket at the end of his career. When you watch him play, there's only one pro comp, and that is Patrick Mahomes. I get it. It's lofty praise. But just turn on the tape and watch him. He's that damn good. Next.
Number four.
Number four. Offensive tackle from Washington, Troy Faitanu. Now, I don't think he's going to be an offensive tackle at the next level. He's 6'4". 320, I think he's going to be a guard, and he's probably going to be one of the best in the business relatively early in his career. This is a guy that could stop defensive linemen dead in their tracks with his initial punch, but he's got the athleticism to be able to stay in front of those quick jump around guys that might reduce down from being an edge rusher to a defensive tackle on sub packages. This is somebody that has a blindside tackle for Michael Penix Jr. was an All-American, and I just continue to see the standout ability in his game because he's such a good athlete to be that size. And one of the things that you watch for offensive linemen is, can they play in space? Because oftentimes NFL defenses will try to put them in conflict to force them to play in space, and Troy Faitanu has shown the ability to be able to do that. So he is a no-doubter. Going to be a Hall of Fame guy at the end of his career. And I think this is a guy that has all pro potential within the first 3 years of being in the National Football League. Next.
Number three.
Brock Bowers. Tight end, but I don't really want to call him a tight end. He's more of a receiver. And you saw what he did at the University of Georgia. He led the Bulldogs, was a part of a really explosive offense that led to the Bulldogs being national champions a couple of years ago. But this is a guy that people are clamoring to get up in the first round of draft just because of his versatility. You see them. How often do you see a tight end getting the ball on a jet sweep in college? You just don't. But that just shows you what kind of athlete he is. Again, he has the label of being a tight end, but he's not really a tight end. He's got really sure hands, really soft hands for the position, for a pro comp. Think George Kittle. That's the direction that it's going when you start talking about Brock Bowers. Maybe needs to work on being able to sustain blocks as an inline blocker in the formation, but he's a player that they're going to be able to put all over the formation, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's split out in the slot, whether it's split out wide, or at the true wide position inline next to a tackle. A lot of versatility that comes along with Brock Bowers. He is the ultimate chess piece, somebody that you can move all around the offensive formation and put defenses in conflict.
Top five guaranteed Hall of Fame players in the 2024 NFL Draft per CC. Brock Bowers in at number three. He'd probably go number three overall if Belichick was still coaching the Patriots. Number two, CC.
All right, number two.
Number two.
Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Now, his dad was one of the Hogs for the Washington Commanders. Used to be known as the Washington Redskins, but I mean, his dad has had a long NFL career, and Joe has that same type of pedigree. I mean, he's 6'9", 320 pounds, a mountain of a man, and he ran sub 5'40". at the combine. This is an elite level athlete, but the thing that I love about him is that he plays big. He uses those long arms to disengage from defenders, keep those defensive linemen out of his body, and he's able to lock out and get good punch on those guys, both in the pass blocking, but also in run blocking. So I love Joe Alt. This is a guy that's going to be plug and play, start for a dozen years in the National Football League, and you're not going to have to worry about him. I think the pro comp for Joe Alt is another guy that's named Joe, and that would be Joe Thomas from the Cleveland Browns once upon a time. I think he has that type of ability. You're a Wisconsin guy, so you know how good Joe Thomas was. That's the kind of ability that Joe Alt has.
I mean, that's no small praise.
Yes.
Comparing him to Joe Thomas, who played forever and ultimate teammate. Wow.
Yeah.
I have literally no idea who number one is going to be.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay, maybe you know
who number one is going to be.
Second generation.
Okay, now again, the bloodlines, man. I'm going to roll with the bloodlines.
Wow, Roman Reigns reference, bloodline.
The bloodlines. I mean, we're going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. All you have to do is look at his dad and just know that the kid knows how to be a professional.
Yep.
He knows how to play receiver. One of the things I love about MHJ is how he's handled the pre-draft process. No, I'm not working out for a combine. No, I'm not going to work out at the combine. And I'm not going to work out at the pro day. If you say the grade is the tape, then just turn on the tape and see what Marvin Harrison Jr. has done at Ohio State over the last couple of years. There is no doubt that he is the best receiver in all of college football, and he's probably the best prospect in this entire class. I mean, he's a super productive player. He's got all kinds of athletic ability. He can win at every single level. He can win versus press coverage. He can win versus off coverage. He knows zone coverage concepts and presents himself as a target for his quarterback. This is a guy that's going to be really user-friendly for whatever signal caller is on the team that drafts him. And so Marvin Harrison Jr. is the player that I'm most confident in this class that will wear a gold jacket. So that is the list. Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, Troy Faitanu, and Caleb Williams, Hall of Famers on deck.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.